Teddy and I were shipmates on 3 deep sea expeditions. And I've been asked to speak to you about this facet of his life. We will by no means exhaust the facets of his life from the talks that we're going into. Before I go into what I'm asked to speak about, I would like to say something about the fact that he wrote the most marvelous obituaries that you can imagine. And it was typical of him in writing scientific obituaries, notices for the Royal Society and the National Academy, that he would spend months gathering data, writing to the family members, putting everything together that he could. And after the last one he wrote, I read it, I couldn't help but write to him and say that he wrote such marvelous obituaries as to cause his friends to long for an early death. We won't hear, I'm afraid, about Teddy the book collector and all he knew about 18th century books, but all of these things came out in the course of these expeditions. We had weeks on end of the endless tea times, conversations on every subject under the world, and mainly, of course, about the science we were doing. The strange circumstance arose that Teddy went on these 3 expeditions with me because he said when I was on my first sabbatical leave in Cambridge, we were all living there, Gifford and 3 children and I, and Teddy remarked that he didn't seem to be able to get anybody to take him out to sea anymore. And since I was in the expeditioneering business much of the time then, as soon as I got back and began to organize the next expedition, I wrote to Teddy and asked him if he'd like to participate. And he said he would. And we went off on the first of these 3 expeditions in what I think must have been 64. I'm going to say a little bit about the first of these expeditions, a little bit about the last one, and more about the middle one. And in that one, I have a few color slides to show you, including no sunsets or anything. But I found when I got a phone call from Bill Nirenberg and then from Walter that I had a collection of these, and I thought I might as well use them. On the first expedition, we went down to Easter Island and then on down to Valparaiso and flew home. It was in 64, a time when mainly we were accumulating information. The big picture hadn't quite been put together. It was beginning to look like it was. In fact, I wonder sometimes that we didn't know more, and possibly the expedition was in 1963. I haven't had a chance to look it up. But off we went. And Teddy participated as a regular member of this expedition in every way. He stood watches. He talked to the students. He supervised part of the work that was going on with some of the students. But the main thing he did was calculate the number of atoms in the universe and discuss all the things you've been hearing about, doing it just offhand. That was the marvelous thing, because you'd go on watch, and there Teddy would be, and he'd stay around for a while, and you'd talk to him about some subject or other, and it could be almost anything. He always knew a great deal about it. And particularly on many of the subjects then concerning his seafloor topography, magnetics, heat flow, he had been in it from the beginning, and it was, for me, a marvelous experience. But for the students, it was, I think, a matchless experience. The students were in a position of finding themselves in the presence of what was clearly at least one of the world's leading geophysicists, who felt that going out, spending a month of his time collecting data was a worthwhile thing to do at that stage. It's demonstrating to the students what is a worthwhile way to carry out a career is what he was doing. I suppose I shouldn't pass by what was certainly an unusual episode, one that one would not run into very often in an oceanographic expedition without someone like Teddy along, and in fact, in this case, actually unique for that expedition. We went to Easter Island, and the naval captain who runs the island, Chilean naval officer, provided us with many, with transportation and many kindnesses. And we had people go on and off the ship and so on. And we were trading for various souvenirs. We were at the dock. There was the naval captain. There was his young wife. And trading for souvenirs, and everybody had exhausted his resources, so we couldn't get any more souvenirs. Something took Teddy's fancy, and after hard bargaining, he did have something left to trade, so he took off his trousers, handed them over to the Easter Islander, took the tiki, and climbed in the boat. I looked back. I would say that the expression of the commandant was amazement. The expression of his wife was amusement. And we left a thoroughly happy island. Well, Teddy was the best of shipmates, but he was not the best of sailors. He did have trouble with the sea. And when it came time to organize the next expedition that I invited him on, which was called Nova, and was the part we were on was in 1967, I conceived of the idea of putting Teddy ashore on islands to go to collect samples so that he wouldn't have to spend all his time on the ship. Now, the problem is that I simply don't get seasick, and I was ignorant enough not to realize that that was the worst thing to do, because he did recover if he stayed on the ship long enough, but I kept putting him ashore, and he would get back on again. But, of course, he was agreeable to this whole program. What he was doing, by this time, 1967, the revolution had hit, so it was a very, even more exciting world, and Teddy was telling us what was going on in Cambridge. Everybody was having fun. I assigned the best students I had available, figuring that to work with Teddy was a privilege that few would have, and to work with him on islands and at sea was something that deserved the best. Among the best we had were Jean Franchoteau, Clem Chase, pretty good company for him. And Teddy did indeed go ashore in these various islands collecting samples, oriented magnetic rock samples, to see if we could demonstrate whether the islands had rotated. It kind of looked as though they did. There's a big swirl of topography around Fiji, and if you take a simple-minded attitude, you say the thing is kind of like it looks sort of like a spiral nebula, and it's probably spinning. So he went out to determine that. It turned out, in fact, later, from when these rocks were analyzed, that there had been some rotation of the various islands. Let me go ahead now and show you some of these slides of Teddy on the expedition. First, please. Well, as I say, he kept going ashore. Party going ashore, that's at the island of Lao, and I got to go ashore then. Ordinarily, since Roger taught us that although oceanography is fun, ship time is expensive, I would put Teddy ashore with a small group, and then I would go around and use the ship to work around the islands, gathering data with every hour available. And so Teddy went off like this. Could we have the next one, please? Well, here's Teddy. We're on the island of Futuna, and there he is, surrounded by these happy people. They always stayed with him, large groups of people walking along with him, carrying his sledgehammer. Yes, I think the person on the right is carrying his sledgehammer on our right. And he, of course, had to knock off the samples, or one of the students did, but they carried this basic geophysical equipment, a sledgehammer, and something to scratch the rocks, and that was kind of it. Next, please. Well, this is kind of peaceful. Actually, this expedition was as rough as the previous one as far as the sea went much of the time. It got worse after Teddy left. He was on this, well, the first one I mentioned, he was at sea about a month. On this one, about 3 weeks. And in that, we touched into Fiji in order to rendezvous with the Argo. This was on Horizon. First trip was on Baird. Those of you who remember these now ancient hulks will recall that although we were ecstatic about them when they arrived, they were beginning to get old by the middle 60s. In fact, when Jeff Frouchy did the first analysis of the remaining life of the ship according to standard procedures, it turned out it didn't have any remaining life. It was about minus 5 years. And Teddy did comment on this particular trip on Horizon that the ship was really a little dirty and it was getting a little old. And in that, he was quite right. Teddy never asked for anything on these expeditions, befitting his station in life, his eminence. He just did the same thing everyone else did. But since on these three expeditions I was a chief scientist, I did manage to fudge things enough to get to have his bed linen delivered to him instead of him having to go down in the bowels of the ship. That's the extent of privilege on these ships anyway. So. But Teddy, one of the things I asked him to do was to give formal lectures, figuring that there's no use having an idle moment when some student is not properly engaged. So in addition to standing watches and the other activities everyone was engaged in, at times we'd assemble everyone and Teddy would give a lecture. And I recall particularly him in a rough sea, hanging onto a stanchion like this, and lecturing to us about that reversal of the magnetic field and swaying back and forth, and saying that we know that the field sometimes points this way, and we know that it sometimes points this way, but we do not know whether it goes like this, meaning that it reverses without decreasing its strength, or whether it goes like this, meaning it reverses by going to a strength of zero on the way. And, you know, all this time swaying back and forth and really not feeling at his best, but getting a message across to the students in a way that would have been absolutely impossible with anyone else. Next, please. Well, we did it when we exchanged the ships, we had parties, and of course you always had parties one place or another, another tradition established by Roger, although Teddy might have thought of that one first. Because when you've been working hard out at sea, you do need to relax. And here is Teddy, and we're in Fiji. Next, please. Still talking away. That's Jerry Winter. I don't know who it is in the red dress. Next, please. And there are a series now of Teddy out in their four slides. There aren't really very many more of these. They were taken by Abranson, one of the students, French students. And here's Teddy out preparing to make his observation or magnetic observations on Futuna, getting the orientation of the magnetic field and scratching a line on the rocks and then getting ready to knock the rocks off. Next, please. Futuna is an odd island. One can go on 100 islands in the Pacific and find nothing but evidence of submergence, but Futuna's gone up a bit. And these are pillow lavas, which were formed underwater. So it was a particularly interesting island to visit. There are the usual children tagging along. Next, please. There's Teddy with his sledgehammer. That is uplifted coral, another evidence of what went on in the place. And I must not mislead you. Teddy is not, in fact, staring at a rock off in the distance. This thing has been cropped to fit on 35 millimeter, and there's a rather attractive young woman going by in the direction he's looking. That isn't why it was cropped. Next, please. Well, I couldn't find the original of this, so that's why it has this odd look to it. This is a photograph of a picture of a published picture in a book of mine I wrote about this expedition. Teddy is all suited up instead of his usual informal clothes, ready to leave the ship at Latoka on the west side of Fiji and head on his way. Next and last. And there he is heading down to the dock. He added many, many things to the expeditions. One of them, even in this departure, a touch of class, since the rest of us never looked anywhere near that elegant at any time in an expedition. Now, lights, please. The weather was rough in those two expeditions, and I despaired of ever being at sea with Teddy at a time when he could enjoy it. But there was one last expedition in the Gulf of California in, I suppose, about 74. I used to be able to reel all these things off because I could correlate them with the births of our children. But by this time, it's gotten all rather remote. But I think it was 74. It was, almost everything I think went well on that expedition. It's the only time Gifford has ever been to sea with me, and I may have some sort of a rosy bias in looking back on it. But Teddy was doing some work on this expedition in the northern part of the Gulf of California. We had by then the hot mounds had been discovered in the Red Sea, the deposits of rare or important metalliferous deposits, and I had the idea that maybe we could find something similar in the Gulf of California, so we launched this expedition, and Teddy had figured out a new way to make some observations, and he wanted to run some experiments, and it seemed ideal, so we had the stuff on the ship, and he flew down to carry out this work. And for once, other than the fact that we did not actually find the brines or find the metal deposits, that is, the desired scientific results didn't materialize at that time. Everything went just beautifully. It was the Melville. We had comfortable quarters. The computer worked. The satellite navigation worked. All these things we kept hearing about in the previous expeditions. It was so calm you could see the stars reflected on the water. As far as I know, that was Teddy's last oceanographic expedition. It certainly is the last one that I was associated with, and it's the last one I have any way of telling you about. Thank you.